You're listening to an African Elements top news story for Friday, November 21, 2025. Please visit our website at africanelements.org for more daily news. NOPD Consent Decree Lifted by Darius Spearman. The federal consent decree overseeing the New Orleans Police Department, NOPD, has officially been lifted after nearly 13 years. This decision marks a significant moment for a city that has long grappled with a troubled history of police misconduct. For many in the African American community, this history is not merely a collection of past incidents. Rather, it is a lived experience that shaped generations of trust, or lack thereof, in the justice system. From the 1980s through the mid-1990s, the NOPD gained national attention for numerous scandals, including grave allegations of murder, rape, and robbery committed by officers. In 1992 and 1994, New Orleans was notably cited as the nation's homicide capital, with an alarmingly low clearance rate for murders compared to the national average. These high rates of unsolved murders disproportionately affected the African-American community. Many perpetrators went unpunished, leaving families without closure and fostering a deep sense of insecurity within Black neighborhoods. Furthermore, the inability of the police to solve these crimes contributed to profound feelings of vulnerability, severely eroding trust between the NOPD and the community it served. A critical factor feeding this widespread corruption was the practice of officers engaging in extensive off-duty private security details, often in establishments like bars and strip clubs. The low official salaries likely drove this practice. A Department of Justice, DOJ report later described this arrangement as the aorta of corruption within the NOPD. These off-duty activities created severe conflicts of interest. Officers frequently prioritized the interests of their private employers over their public duties. This environment also opened doors for officers to abuse their authority for personal financial gain, blurring the ethical lines of public service. For marginalized communities, this meant a potential decrease in police presence and responsiveness, as officers were often elsewhere, serving private interests. The situation fueled a perception of a two-tiered policing system where justice seemed influenced by wealth, further eroding trust and exacerbating existing inequalities. The chaos and devastation caused by Hurricane Katrina in August 2005 dramatically exposed the NOPD's deep-seated problems to the entire nation. The period immediately following the storm was marked by egregious acts of police misconduct that ultimately became a primary driver for federal intervention and the consent decree. One of the most infamous incidents was the Danziger Bridge shootings on September 4, 2005. Days after Katrina, NOPD officers shot and killed two unarmed Black civilians, 17-year-old James Brissett and 40-year-old Ronald Madison, who was mentally disabled and shot in the back. Four other unarmed civilians also suffered wounds in this unprovoked attack. Following these shootings, NOPD officers orchestrated an extensive cover-up, fabricating reports that claimed they had been fired upon, and even charging one survivor with attempted murder. Federal prosecutors later described the Danziger Bridge case as the most significant police misconduct prosecution since the Rodney King beating case. The Rodney King beating case, involving the severe assault of an African-American man by Los Angeles Police Department officers in 1991, was famously captured on videotape. This pivotal incident brought graphic images of police brutality and racial injustice into millions of homes, sparking outrage and the 1992 Los Angeles riots after the officers' acquittal. The case highlighted the crucial importance of video evidence in exposing misconduct and significantly spurred calls for police reform, influencing the use of federal oversight mechanisms like consent decrees. The officers involved in the NOPD's past egregious misconduct cases, including Danziger Bridge, Robert Davis and Henry Glover faced significant legal consequences. In the Danziger Bridge case, five NOPD officers were initially convicted of civil rights violations and obstruction of justice in 2011, receiving substantial prison sentences, though these convictions were later overturned. Subsequently, four of the former officers pleaded guilty to various federal charges, and another former officer received a 10-year prison sentence after a retrial. For the Robert Davis case, Detective Ronald Brink pleaded guilty to federal obstruction of justice and falsifying a report for his role in the severe beating and cover-up, receiving a 2-year prison sentence. In the Henry Glover case, former NOPD officers David Warren and Greg McRae were convicted of federal charges. Warren was sentenced to 25 years for shooting Glover, and McRae received 17 years for burning Glover's body and lying to investigators. The mounting evidence of misconduct led then-Mayor Mitchell J. Landrieu to invite the U.S. Department of Justice to conduct a full investigation into the NOPD's practices in May 2010. The report found a pervasive pattern and practice of unconstitutional conduct by the NOPD, which included excessive force, unconstitutional stops, searches, and arrests, as well as discriminatory policing based on race, ethnicity, and LGBTQ+ status. This legal term, pattern and practice, signifies a systematic and pervasive series of actions by a law enforcement agency that violate individuals' constitutional rights rather than isolated incidents. The finding implied that misconduct was not accidental or the work of a few bad apples, but rather stemmed from deeply ingrained policies, training, supervision failures, or an organizational culture that tolerated or even encouraged such behavior. The implications are significant, as it indicated systemic issues requiring comprehensive, agency-wide reforms to address the underlying causes of misconduct. A federal consent decree is a court-ordered agreement between the U.S. Department of Justice and a state or local government agency, such as a police department, designed to resolve allegations of systemic civil rights violations. Its legal basis comes from federal civil rights laws, which allow the DOJ to investigate and sue government entities for engaging in a pattern or practice of misconduct that deprives individuals of their constitutional rights. On July 24, 2012, the City of New Orleans, the NOPD, and the DOJ entered into a comprehensive consent decree, which then U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder described as one of the most wide-ranging in the Justice Department's history. The U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Louisiana formally approved the consent decree on January 11, 2013. This decree laid out a broad blueprint for change, encompassing more than 490 paragraphs and 110 pages of detailed tasks and goals. It mandated reforms across numerous areas, including use of force, stops, searches, seizures, and arrests, bias-free policing, community engagement, recruitment, training, performance evaluations, promotions, supervision, secondary employment, and the intake, investigation, and adjudication of misconduct complaints. To ensure accountability, a federal monitor was appointed in August 2013 to oversee and report on the implementation of these reforms. A federal monitor is an independent expert appointed by a federal court to oversee and assess a police department's compliance with the terms of the decree. The monitor's role is to ensure the department implements the mandated reforms, and their specific powers include access to departmental data, documents, and personnel, as well as the authority to conduct interviews and site visits. They are also responsible for issuing regular public reports on the department's progress in any areas of noncompliance. On November 19, 2025, a federal judge formally ended the 13-year-long consent decree over the NOPD. The U.S. District Court terminated the decree based on the NOPD's successful implementation of reforms in critical areas such as use of force, crisis intervention, and stops, searches, and arrests. Justice Department and city officials highly praised the NOPD, recognizing the department's sustained progress and commitment to constitutional policing. Superintendent Ann Kirkpatrick stated that the NOPD had undergone a transformation of thinking and culture, making it a model for 21st century policing today. Concrete, outcome-based statistical evidence supports some of these claims. For example, the NOPD reported a significant reduction of over 70% in use of force incidents requiring medical attention between 2012 and 2022. Furthermore, there was a 60% reduction in all reported use of force incidents by NOPD officers during the 10 years of the consent decree. Civilian complaints also saw a substantial decrease, with allegations of excessive force dropping by 80% over the same period, and complaints regarding discourtesy falling by more than 60%. While model agency status is subjective, these statistics indicate a measurable improvement in operational practices and accountability, which likely contributed to safer interactions. Despite the official commendations, the decision to lift the consent decree has generated significant apprehension within the New Orleans community. Protesters gathered outside the event where the decree was formally ended, expressing concerns that the oversight was concluded prematurely. Community observations and reports, even if not always reflected in official NOPD statistics, support claims of continued unconstitutional stops, excessive force, and harassment by NOPD targeting Black residents. Advocacy groups such as the New Orleans Police Accountability Project, NOPAP, have continued to raise concerns about issues like pretextual stops, where minor traffic infractions are used as a pretense for searches, disproportionately affecting Black drivers. Anecdotal accounts often describe officers failing to de-escalate situations, leading to unnecessary uses of force and a general feeling of being targeted, particularly for Black individuals. These concerns echo the very issues the consent decree was initially put in place to address, highlighting a perception that while institutional changes may be in place, the lived experience of some residents has not fully aligned with the promised reforms. To ensure the durability of reforms, a sustainment plan was approved in January 2025. This plan outlines the strategies and mechanisms a police department implements to maintain constitutional policing practices and institutionalize reforms after formal federal judicial oversight ends. Without federal judicial oversight, these plans are typically overseen internally by the police department's leadership, often with some form of local civilian oversight or community advisory boards. Key components usually include continued training programs, robust internal accountability systems, data collection and analysis for monitoring performance, and ongoing community engagement initiatives. However, activists and community leaders express skepticism about the NOPD's full transformation, suggesting that an underlying culture may persist where officers disproportionately engage in aggressive tactics or stops in predominantly Black neighborhoods. The efficacy and accountability of a sustainment plan depend heavily on the department's commitment to transparency, consistent internal enforcement of policies, and the continued involvement and vigilance of community groups, which serve as crucial external checks, especially given historical community concerns about police conduct. The NOPD consent decree has yielded mixed results regarding a measurable or perceived increase in trust between the NOPD and the African American community in New Orleans. While official reports often highlight improvements in police conduct metrics, which indicate a foundation for increased trust, community perceptions remain complex and often skeptical due to historical grievances and ongoing concerns. Some surveys and community dialogues suggest a gradual, albeit fragile, improvement in trust and perceptions of fairness among certain segments of the African American community. However, activists and some residents still express significant reservations, pointing to a continued need for greater transparency, accountability, and more consistent, equitable policing to fully bridge the historical trust deficit. The perceived increase in trust is therefore not universal and varies across different community members and experiences. Community members, especially African American residents and social justice organizations, played an important role in the NOPD consent decree reforms through various formal and informal channels. The Department of Justice actively engaged with community stakeholders during its initial investigation, ensuring their experiences and concerns were incorporated into the decree's foundational requirements. Throughout the implementation, community organizations participated in public meetings, provided input to the federal monitor, and served on advisory committees designed to offer feedback on reforms such as use of force policies and community policing strategies. Social justice groups also played a crucial role in ongoing monitoring by documenting civilian complaints, advocating for specific policy changes, and holding both the NOPD and the monitor accountable through public forums and media engagement. While the NOPD committed to making raw police data available to the public, the sheer volume and technical nature of this information can pose significant challenges for average citizens or activists without specialized analytical tools or expertise. Despite these difficulties, the availability of some data has allowed community groups and independent researchers to identify trends in police practices, such as patterns in stops, searches, and arrests. This transparency has helped reveal insights into potential racial disparities in policing outcomes. Analyses have sometimes indicated that Black residents are disproportionately affected by certain police actions, even if the NOPD does not explicitly acknowledge racial bias in its public statements. These insights, gleaned from publicly available data, empower activists and community advocates to substantiate their concerns, push for greater accountability, and advocate for specific policy reforms. Beyond formal federal oversight, the NOPD has put several mechanisms and external checks in place to ensure the long-term sustainability of constitutional policing practices, bias-free policing, and community engagement. These include an enhanced internal accountability system with robust internal affairs processes, as well as ongoing training in de-escalation and implicit bias. Furthermore, the NOPD continues data collection and analysis to monitor performance. External checks involve the New Orleans Office of the Independent Police Monitor, OIPM, which provides independent civilian oversight, reviews police conduct, and investigates citizen complaints. Continued community engagement initiatives, advisory boards, and the persistent advocacy of social justice organizations serve as vital external pressures, holding the NOPD accountable and ensuring dialogue on policing practices. The sustainment plan itself is designed to embed these practices into the department's culture, but its effectiveness relies heavily on consistent leadership commitment and continued public vigilance. Darius Spearman is a professor of Black Studies at San Diego City College, where he has been teaching for over 20 years. He is the founder of African Elements, a media platform dedicated to providing educational resources on the history and culture of the African diaspora. Through his work, Spearman aims to empower and educate by bringing historical context to contemporary issues affecting the Black community. Copyright African Elements.